Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now. If I go down, this show could be next. So visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.
His skin is white just like a ghost, thick Irish roots and his blonde hair, and he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. This is episode 108. I am joined by a New York City punk rock legend, Andy Chernoff. And yeah, he's got a brand new EP that was just released in February. Four brand new songs. I got to hear it. It's great stuff. He likes to call it adult punk rock. And it's catchy. It's got, chugging guitars behind it. A lot of muscle. And he made his bones with The Dictators, a pretty original punk band in the 70s. And he likes to say they were before the Ramones, about the era of the New York Dolls. They had their own sound. They had their own humor. They liked, it wasn't a stone cold serious punk band, like Minor Threat or something like that. This was a punk band that liked to have fun, liked to make fun of everything around them, especially pop culture. And they had quite a bit of success. Made a couple albums, became friends with the whole original punk movement, the Ramones, all that good stuff. And he talks about his deep friendship with Joey Ramone and all the way up until Joey's untimely passing in 2002. Got to work on Joey's final album. Andy's a great guy, full of vigor and funniness, and also, a great musician as well. So nowadays he's taken up quite a bit of responsibility working in the secular movement, trying to make sure that more people know about the secular movement. And with his new EP titled On the First Day Man Created God, he makes no bones about it, about where he stands on religion. So yes, it's an interesting chat. I want to thank you guys for staying with us for the last 108 episodes. I want to thank everybody who downloaded the last one, which was 3.5 hours. Anybody who made it through the whole thing, you deserve a badge, because that's quite a bit of Andy Dare Show to listen to. But I did get quite a bunch of good feedback. It was 5 interviews with all the cool ladies we've had on the show in the past 3 years. And they're all talented ladies in their own right, and it really means a lot to me that they took the time out to talk to me. So, yeah, check it out. It's still up on iTunes. That's episode 107, Ladies Night. And we got a bunch of things planned for the near future for the network, Dare Network, and for my show. And I'm excited for you guys to hear brand new shows from the Jay Porks Experience and the Tyler Kale Show as well. Tyler's been doing some awesome stuff with his doppelgangers. He's got a DopSpot TV thing he's been working on with some producers out of Westmont too. And it's quite an interesting thing, because he's all the way out in LA, yet these producers are helping him, find his vision half a country away. So it's kind of cool that you can do that in 2014, really a small world in 2014. And I'm glad where we're at. But so this is a cool chat with a punk rock legend, and hopefully we'll be having some more cool guests in the near future. I think Andy Metz will be returning to the show pretty soon to help promote his new show at the Metro. And a bunch of cool stuff. We got a new Twitter for Dare Network, just like it sounds, D-E-R-E-R Network at Twitter. And there's a Facebook thing for it too. We are looking to find new shows, new programming, and new sponsors to help get the word out. As always, this will always remain a free show, free programming weekly for you guys, All you got to do is hook up my sponsors. And for this one, all you got to do is go to theandydareshow.com, pull on the right side of the page. There is an Amazon banner. Takes you right to Amazon. Why don't you pick up the new Andy Chernoff EP on the first day, Man Created God, or some of the Dictator stuff. I'm not sure if that's all still in print on CD, but I'm sure it's out there on MP3. Click through my Amazon banner and help support my show and support the awesome artists and cool people that we interview. All right, that about does it for my spiel. This one's going to be a quite shorter episode than the last one. I'm just going to do about a half hour here. So I want to thank everybody for staying with The Andy Dare Show, all the listeners, all the guests, all the sponsors, and the word spreaders. It means a lot to me. So on behalf of Andy Chernoff, welcome to my episode 108, The Last Dictator with Andy Chernoff. Thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. This is episode 108. I am joined cross country by Andy Chernoff. How you doing, man?
Doing great, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Yes, and you just released a new four-song EP last month, right? Called On the First Day Man Created God.
Yeah, well, actually 2 weeks ago it came out.
Nice. How does this differ from like the Dictators or Manitoba's Wild Kingdom? Is this a big change up, or is it more of revisiting some old sounds that you still love in your heart?
Well, it's not cool. I call it punk rock for adults. You know, when I was a teenager, I was making loud, crazy music, and now it's a little more thoughtful, still trying to be provocative. It's all songs about religion and faith and the rapture and stuff like that, and it's a little, not quite as aggressive on the sound. On the lyrics.
Nice. Did you produce this yourself? Did you have? I know you produced a whole bunch throughout your career. Did you do it yourself, or did you get somebody in there?
I produced it myself. Yeah.
Nice. Is it? Nowadays, you can do the home recording thing pretty easy, or did you take it to a studio? Or
I would record like drums and some guitars in a studio, bring it to my house, put everything else down, and then I would take it to a friend's to mix.
Nice. So are you still in New York City?
Still in New York, born and raised.
Born and raised, yes. You are pretty much an OG punk rocker, to fill my listeners in. Started with the Dictators, what, 1973?
We formed in 73. I'm not OG, I'm OP, original punk.
Nice.
Yeah, the band started in 73, recorded our first record in 74, came out in 75, that was like a year before the Ramones, Long from Sex Pistols. People call us like the missing link between glam rock and punk rock. So I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, what I like about you guys were you had all the fun of glam, like the New York Dolls. It was a fun time hearing you guys and seeing you guys. And it wasn't like some of the punk rock coming out at the end of the 70s was more dour, more concerned with politics, more this and that, more serious messages, and Doc Martin boots and whatnot. You guys had fun while you were doing the punk rock, and I think that's why you're kind of known as the missing link between glam and punk. Is that true?
Yeah, we were not political. We were not anti-society. We were about fun. We're not anti-society. We're middle-class kids living out a good time, talking about things about cars and girls. And there's actually a new book called American Fun, which wrote about me and the Dictators, about the history of fun in America. Great book, actually, by this guy, John Beckman.
Nice. And you guys were into having like a sense of humor, which was missing at the time pretty much. I mean, you guys were talking about all sorts of stuff with it was definitely humor, you know, full of humor and stuff. Is comedy and, stand-up comedy, is that stuff that's also an influence in you guys' like musical bouillabaisse?
Well, I wrote the songs and I still write songs I think are pretty funny. I've got, I got a few videos on YouTube where I use comedians to play roles. And I've always been interested in the intersection of comedy and rock and roll and humor and sarcasm and satire.
Nice. And this is obviously way before Weird Al Yankovic, and you guys aren't doing, you know, it's not spoofs. But in a way, was it spoofing like the status quo of heavy metal, of the Black Sabbath of the time? Or?
I'd say we're spoofing the pretensions and self-consciousness of rock and roll. It was way before Al Yankovic, but he was doing something a little bit different. You know, he was doing song parodies. I was writing songs that were poking fun at American mores.
Sure. And at the time, it was still like an inkling, this whole punk rock movement of New York City. And how did you guys get linked up with the Ramones? Was it a friendly thing, or did it start off as a competitive thing?
Well, we were before the Ramones. When Dictators first started playing, Joe Ramone used to come see us, and he was wearing his glam rock gear. So you got to imagine, you know, Joey, 6'6", in platforms and satin pants.
It's hard to picture.
He was a hippie before that. So I met him in like 1974, and the Ramones formed right after that. And it was, I'd say, something competition, but we were coming from the same place. You know, we did California Sun, and they eventually did California Sun on their first record.
Sure.
We were doing the leather jacket thing before then. But, you know, I love the Ramones. They changed rock and roll. Joey was one of my best buddies. I played on Ramones records, written songs for Ramones, and played bass on Joey's solo records also. So,
yeah, how was the recording of that final solo record with Joey? Was he obviously sick in the studio, or was this something that was recorded first and then he became sick and then it was released?
He'd been sick, and he'd been in treatment, and when he felt good, we would record tracks, and then he would do vocals when he was feeling good. And then, this is actually a very sad story, because the record was 99% done, and he went out for a walk one day in the snow, and he slipped and he fell, and he broke his hip when he fell on the ice.
Jeez.
And to treat the broken hip, they had to take him off the cancer medicine. And once they took off the cancer medicine,
really?
His lymphoma spread quite rapidly. He died like a few months later. It was very, very sad, because he was actually recovering very nicely.
Oh.
And at the end of 2000, I did two shows with him in the CBGBs. One of his clubs called the Continental in New York. So he was ready to start playing again and making music. And so it's actually a very, very, very sad story.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's hard to hear that last album now. I mean, knowing what he went through at the time and stuff.
Yeah, he'd been suffering from lymphoma for a number of years. He was very brave, and taking these cancer treatments that were very debilitating.
Sure.
But he affected the world, or he made the world a better place.
Yeah, so, and we've got dozens of albums to hear from him that will never go away, you know? So.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think the Ramones are more popular now than ever before.
Oh, easily. I could definitely agree with that. And I would like to see their influence spread a little bit more to the new kids. I don't hear their fun sounds. I don't hear that punk rock sound in much of the new bands nowadays. I'm hearing more of just the Sabbath sounds, and you can hear the stuff from the 60s coming in with the new bands. But I don't know. I think they had more fun than the kids do now, it seems. So
I'm with you there, but rock and roll was not what it used to be. You know, rock and roll was a force in society.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a little side note in the musical spectrum.
Sure, a very small side note, it seems like. How do you, how about the whole social media thing? Are you a fan of it, or are you more of a guy that would like it back in the day when you really had to pound the pavement, spread flyers out to everybody, have people come to the shows? I mean, nowadays you can hear the whole album from the comfort of your own room, and I don't know if that's awesome or if that's making it kind of easier for everybody and their grandmother to have a band.
It's a double-edged sword. When I started out, there were not that many bands. Rock and roll was not a career choice. So
sure.
If you wanted to do it, you were a misfit. If you want to get in the studio, you had to, it was expensive.
Sure.
You couldn't be successful unless you had a record company behind you or a radio station playing you. Nowadays, anybody can make a record in their house, literally. And you can have direct contact with your fans without a gatekeeper, like, like a radio station or MTV. So it's a little bit of both. For me, on my own at this point, I like it to have direct contact with people who are interested in my music.
Sure.
I make a record, I can, you know, put it up online, people download it immediately. I make a video, I put it up online, people can download it immediately or view it immediately on YouTube.
Sure.
Interaction with the fans is easier. So I'm pretty happy the way things are going. I like when things get shaken up. Makes it interesting.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. And like back in the day, would you have a record label boss saying, "Hey, Andy, chill it with the lyrics a little bit. Come on, pull it in just a little bit. We want to get this into every store. We want to get this into Sears, you know. I don't know about all these lyrics." I mean, obviously, they'd say that about the new EP. But did you ever have the record labels just being a pain in the ass for you back in the Dictators days?
Actually, they never interfered. They never interfered with the actual music.
Nice.
We weren't this. We weren't just a big money maker.
Yeah,
we're a money loser for the record company we were on.
Did you guys tour out a lot? Did you guys play around the country a whole bunch as the Dictators?
Oh yeah,
nice.
Yeah, we played West Country and toured Europe, Australia, New Zealand.
How about this? How was
I've seen the world.
How was it like for a punk band in 1975 or six playing the down south states like Louisiana or Texas or something? Was that difficult back in the mid 70s?
We didn't tour in 75, but into 76 and particularly in 77, we did some tours. And the problem was there was no there weren't a lot of punk rock clubs to play. So to perform, we had to get on bills. We would open up for bands like Foreigner.
Right.
Blue Oyster Cult. We did Kiss a few times. I remember Uriah Heep, I think we played with. So it was a little weird. Like, we would get out there, and basically 95% of the audience had no interest or was doing us. But it'd be about 5% of the kids there would be going crazy, and those kids eventually started punk rock bands. And so many people today said, "I saw you in Greensboro, North Carolina," or whatever.
Sweet.
So, you know, there were a few people that were happy to see us, but most of them were interested in the mainstream rock.
Sure, most of them are there to see the headliners, yeah. That's funny. So you were part of the pantheon of New York music makers, and I asked this once to an interview a couple of days after his passing, and the guy actually was not influenced by him. How about Lou Reed? A big influence on you, or was that kind of not punk, or was that too artsy for you guys? How was his whole influence on your sound and your life?
Lou, you know, I was a big Velvet Underground fan, and I was a big fan of him as a solo artist. And on my first Dictator record, I used the line, "Lou Reed is a creep," trying to be the most punk I could be. We make fun of the ultimate punk icon, the ultimate of cool.
Sure.
So, Lou Reed, major influence, Tragic Loss. You know, this guy had a lot of great music in him, and I'm sure he had a lot more music ready to come out. So, very, very sad day for anybody.
Yeah, it's definitely a loss. And taking it even further back into the New York sounds, I saw on your bio, Dion covered one of your songs. I kind of think that he's kind of the originator of New York street punk. I mean, it's obviously more doo-wop and rock and roll influence, but his attitude couldn't be more punk, I think.
Absolutely. Dion was the originator. I think Lou Reed actually was heavily influenced by Dion. So remember, Dion, Lou Reed, to me, to whoever else followed me.
To the Strokes, right? Yeah.
You know, Dion's great. He's still making music. He's still making, he's not just doing the oldie shit.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. Well, just a couple more questions here. How did you end up working on like the All-Star game, doing your California Sun?
I just got a call one day. Hey. When you use not a song I sang on, I didn't write the song California Sun. But it was taking place in Los Angeles, and they wanted Fox Entertainment wanted to use a song about California. And I believe they were just looking up songs about California, and they came across my version, and they used it. So it was made a great, great video, a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, very flattering.
That's really cool, huh? Yeah, you think they would choose a Beach Boys tune or something like that, but hell, if they're going to choose yours, you might as well go for it. You know, that's awesome.
I think ours was cheaper. I think it might have been the reason.
That's funny. All right, yeah, well, that about does it. You got the new EP on the first day, Man Created God, talking about a whole bunch of secular stuff. So you were part of the Reason Rally in 2012. That's a whole thing about secular, what, just spreading the secular word, or what's the deal with that?
That was the largest gathering of secular people in the history of the world. It was Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, had religion played, Bill Mayer, a lot of people, but it was great. It was on the National Mall.
Nice. It's like the Million Man March, but for secularists, right?
So, you know, I look at, you know, atheism is where gay liberation was about 5 or 10 years ago, because you cannot be elected to a political office if you say you're an atheist. You can't. You'll be scorned. You will be ridiculed. So I think it's, people have to come out and say, hey, look, this is what I believe, and I'm proud of it. And I believe in reason. I believe in logic.
Sure.
And you should not be ridiculed or pushed aside if that is your belief.
It's just like if somebody was Jewish, you shouldn't give them a hard time because they're Jewish. You know, it's a,
exactly. Yeah. Or if you're Muslim, or if you're gay, or if you're black.
Or if you smoke marijuana, you know, it's everybody should be able to do what they want to do in their own in their
not
own.
Not hurting
house.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Right. Not hurting anybody.
It's true. And so the new EP tackles some of these subjects, obviously, right?
Yeah, I do tackle the rapture, which is something I didn't even know existed until about, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. You know, I'm from New York, so we don't have people talking about Jesus Christ coming back to for a second coming. And then started reading about it, and I was absolutely amazed that people really believe this. I have a song about faith, a song about evangelicalism, let me correct pronounce that, and a song about original sin, which I think is another thing.
Something everybody can relate to.
Yeah, I think another ridiculous topic, in my opinion, that we're suffering today because of sins done in an imaginary garden.
Yeah, it's a long shot for sure. But yeah, so it's all set to some, you call it grown-up punk rock music. And I heard a couple tracks, and it's very catchy. And it's, you know, the subject matter is something that you're going to want to read the lyrics to, actually. And, yeah, if they want to find out more, it's andyshernoff.com, S-H-E-R-N-O-F-F.com. And are you on the social medias? Are you on Twitter or Facebook? Or?
Yeah, Twitter. I don't do Twitter that much, but certainly Facebook.
Nice.
I have a fan page, and I have a YouTube page where I post all my videos, and,
Very cool.
Having a good time with it.
And are you planning on touring out with these EPs, or what you got planned for the summer?
Oh, I'm actually going to start my new EP very soon. I'm going to Canada tomorrow. I'm producing a record up there, and I got a few more videos up my sleeve. So my fun is really recording and making videos. So
awesome.
Shows once in a while, but I reach much more people via YouTube or social media.
Sure. Another reason why it's a good time we're living in 2014. So.
Exactly.
All right. Just want to thank Andy for taking the time out of his day. And do check out his new EP on the first day, Man Created God, at andyshernoff.com. Any last words, Andy?
Oh, have a good time all the time.
All right. Sounds good. On behalf of Andy Shernoff, this is Andy Dare signing off for The Andy Dare Show. This episode of The Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luaus, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com. Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. Be sure to follow Andy on Twitter, that's at Andy Dare, and like our show on Facebook, that's facebook.com/TheAndyDareShow. Videos at youtube.com/AndrewMartinDare, and we're on iTunes, just search The Andy Dare Show, please leave a review. Thanks so much to our wonderful sponsors, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue, Record Utopia, The Man Grate, and Amazon.com. Theme song courtesy of Rich Banks Music. Thank you so much for checking out The Andy Dare Show. TheAndyDareShow.com.